Arach in chapter 8, Mishnah 7, carrying on from the last Mishnah, Macharemim Adam Es Kot Kadoshav. So if a person, we said in the last Mishnah, can devote his holy things. So what does that mean? Obviously, if a person's already got an animal there that's already been donated to become an offering, so how can he make that a Charem? Right, he can't. So what do you do in that scenario over there? And you can do it Bain Kodesh HaKadosh and Bain Kodesh HaKalim, whether that animal over there has been designated to be a most holy offering or a lesser holy offering. How do we work it out? So says the Mishnah, Im Neder, if it's a Neder, so if he said, I take upon myself to bring an Oila offering, let's say. He's got to donate an Oila offering. And then he specifies, the Oila offering that I have to bring is this animal over here. Then he comes along and he says, I want to make this animal a Charem for the Kohanim, right? So how does that work? You can't. He's got to bring the animal as an oil offering. He can't bring it he can't give it to the Kohanim. So says the Mishnah Nosen Es Adamim. He's got to give the full value of that animal. He's got to give to the Kohanim. That's what he does. So he gives them a monetary equivalent of that animal. But the point is that it takes effect. His Charem Vow actually took effect. It's not that it's null and void because the animal was already been designated for an offering. Im Nadava, but if it's a Nadava offering, so if a Nadava offering is not, he says, I'm going to bring an Oila offering. He says, this animal is an Oila offering. Now the difference over here is if this animal is lost or dies, he doesn't have to replace it because he only designated this animal as an Oila offering. So over here, Nosen Es Tovaso, if he then afterwards goes and designates it as a Chayrim, so he's got to give what it would be like worth to him to offer up an animal, let's say, as an oila offering, as a burnt offering. Why? Because he's no longer got an obligation to bring an oila offering. So it's not the full value of the animal that he has to give now. It's a lesser amount. It still has some sort of value. What would a person give? How much money would a person pay to give this animal as an oila offering, right? He wouldn't pay its full value because he's got no obligation to bring that an offering, but it's still worth something. I mean, it's an important thing to do to bring an animal as an oila offering. So he'd still pay something. So in this case over here, he would pay that lesser amount. What would it be worth to a passerby? Shoze oila, oimdim kama adam roitzeliten b'shoze lo lasa oila she'ena rasha. So the Mishnah spells it out. If he says, let this animal be a burnt offering, they estimate what a person would pay for this animal to offer it up as a burnt offering. That's, as we've just said, the Mishnah spells it out. Habachor, if the animal that he wants to make a charem is a firstborn animal. So now a firstborn animal belongs to the priests. You can't give it, you can't make it a charem. It's not yours even to give as a charem offering. So bain tamim, bain bal mumin, it doesn't matter whether it's blemished or unblemished because either way it's going to the priest. Mecharamin oisa, and what happens if he does make a charem of it? Ketzad poedin oisa, what does he have to do now? How does he fulfill his charem vow? So, apoedin oimdim, kama adam roitze liten bechorze, litno leben bita o leben achoisa. What would a person pay to give this animal to his daughter or to the son of his the son of his daughter or the son of his sister, meaning, if he's got a relative that's a Kohen. So in other words, his daughter marries a Kohen. So it comes out his grandchild is a Kohen, right? So how much would he give, how much would he pay to the owner of this Bechor animal to give it to his grandson, right? So there's very specific conditions where you can do this. You, like, in a way, you kind of, you know, it's, you almost, you're paying the owner of the animal to make sure that the animal goes to your... To this particular kind. So the very specific laws around when you can and can't do that and how to do it. But there is a small monetary value there. It can't be a big monetary value, is one of the issues. And that's how much. If a person makes a charem vow on a bechor animal, how much does he have to give to the Kohanim? This small amount that he would pay to have this bechor animal go to a relative of his who's a kohen. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel goes all the way back and he says Kasu, and he's going to learn out, where do we learn it from? Where do we learn that you can make a charem vow on a holy animal? So Kasuv Echad Omer Taktish, there's one verse that says that it's holy. The Kasuv Acher Omer Al Taktish, and another animal that says do not sanctify it. The opposite, right? So the one verse says, when it's talking about a bechor, a firstborn animal, it says you shall sanctify, and the other verse says you shall not sanctify. So it's impossible to say, you know, do not sanctify, to say sanctify when we've already said do not sanctify. And also the other way around, you can't say do not sanctify if you've already said sanctify, meaning the two verses are contradictory in this aspect. So we learn out from it, that you may sanctify its value, but you may not sanctify to its altar, meaning even though it's a holy animal for some other reason, right? It's got to be offered up for some other reason. You can still make a cherem on it, and then effectively what happens is you're going to give money. That's what's going to happen. And how you value how much money to give, so we've seen three different methodologies in the Mishnah, depending on what sacrifice that animal was. There's a different way of evaluating it, and that's the money that you would then go and give to the temple.